The Obama administration has a strategy to take a piece of corporate profits sitting overseas. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Let's take a moment to better understand a piece of President Obama's budget proposal set for release today that might find some support from some members of both parties in Congress. It'll be billed as a one-time tax on the overseas profits of corporations. The White House wants to use the money to fix highways, bridges, and other infrastructure. There are great pools of this money in foreign countries, often routed through tax havens where the tax is low to the point of non-existent. Right now, companies can keep the money out there and bring it back for taxation at the company's option. Joseph Cordes is a professor of economics and public policy at George Washington University. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
If a company, what, stashes it in the right country, like a tax haven country, they might not pay much, if any, tax on it at all?
Unless and until they repatriate it back to the United States, at which point currently they would be liable for the full 35% rate. So they have a strong incentive to not repatriate the profits.
And we've heard from companies, including Apple, for instance, talking about, well, we'd send more of this back if the tax rates were somehow reformed in the U.S. What is proposed here is a one-time tax, but at a lower rate than we were just talking about.
It's a one-time tax, but it would be at a lower rate, but it would also be, in the Obama proposal, a mandatory tax that the corporations would, the overseas profits would be expected to pay on the amounts that are still overseas. This would be a requirement, but it would be at a lower rate.
I suppose somebody, not me, but somebody could spin this as a temporary tax break. I mean, the tax rate is dropping.
Yes. I mean, if, you know, relative to current law, the rate is lower. However, current law doesn't require them to repatriate the profits. So that makes it a little more complicated because the proposal would require the repatriation.
So if, and big if, it moved forward at all, it's possible this could go from mandatory to optional.
Well, there are a number of things that could happen. Yes, it could go from mandatory to optional. Another alternative, you know, would be a mandatory payment but at a lower rate. There are other issues regarding how low the corporate tax rate would be as part of this reform. And both parties agree that something needs to be done to reform the corporate system, that the current statutory rate is too high. Both parties agree that we also need extra revenue to finance infrastructure, and the Obama proposal proposes to use the revenue from the mandatory tax to pay for roads, bridges, and so forth. But again, the other side may not agree with that particular mechanism for financing.
Joseph Cordes, professor of economics and public policy at George Washington, thank you so much for this.
It's been a pleasure.
And what are people doing with the extra money freed up by lower gasoline prices? Saving, not spending it. There's word this morning that consumer spending dropped by the most since 2009, down 0.3% for December. Many economists are still predicting consumers will spend more of the gasoline windfall if they're persuaded the cheap prices at the pump will stick around for a while. I know it's a little early in the day for a hard drink, but it's 5 p.m. somewhere in the world. Although sales of alcoholic cider currently amount to just 1% of the U.S. beer market, sales of cider are way up. In Vermont, where craft beer is already big, some say Vermont is poised to become the Napa Valley of hard cider. John Kalish reports.
Hard cider consumption has doubled in the last few years, thanks in large part to women and millennials. Part of the appeal has been dietary. People on a gluten-free diet can imbibe. But hard cider also appeals to locavores and consumers committed to craft brewing. In Vermont, where eating local is practically the state motto, craft cider makers are thriving. In the tasting room of Citizen Cider in Burlington, there are 10 different ciders on tap. Co-founder Chris Nelson pours a brosé, which is cider fermented with whole blueberries.
It doesn't drink like a blueberry wine or a cider. It drinks more like a bubbly rosé from southern France.
Citizen Cider is eager for local farmers to grow apples just for cider making, but here's the problem. Farmers get far less for the smaller blemished apples used to make cider than they get for so-called dessert fruit. University of Vermont researcher Terry Bradshaw.
growers are being pretty cautious about getting into this. There are some orchards in the state that are planted for this market, but nobody is really putting in, you know, a sizable orchard just because the economics aren't really figured out yet.
Production and infrastructure costs are lower for cider apple orchards, but it takes several years for new orchards to become productive. Citizen Cider President Justin Heilenbach is confident that the market will adapt.
Nobody ever wanted a whole crop grown for hard cider making, and now there's a bunch of people that do. What's going to happen with this is, like any other industry, as there's more money on the table, there will be more people that want to plant those orchards, and there'll be more people that want to buy them.
The hard cider industry expects that in the next decade, cider will rise from 1% of the beer market to 5%. In Vermont, I'm John Kalish for Marketplace.
And in Montreal today, airlines from around the world will come together to talk safety after a year in which a Malaysian airliner went missing and was never found, and another one was shot down by a missile. It's only the second time in the 70-year history of the International Civil Aviation Organization that it's met for a summit like this. There's talk of a better database for no-fly zones when there's conflict on the ground, and talk about better tracking of planes, but it's not clear what system would be adopted. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.